No, we're not doing anything for Halloween. Okay, would everybody stand, please, and let's sing this together.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Now we got one young voice back here I want to hear. Would y'all encourage Braden to sing? Because I know he can sing. We need that young voice, Braden. Come on now. Third verse.
I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. And no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
I just saw a delightful thing and I just thought I'd tell you about it. I looked down here and Linda has little man, and she's just dancing him around to that music, and he's just loving it. Now see, when he gets older, he's going to be into it. Yeah, he'll be singing at the top of his voice, right, Ellie? Say, yeah. Yeah, Ellie's already into it. Okay, fourth verse. We're singing them all.
There's a light in the valley of death now for me since Jesus came into my heart. And the gates of the city beyond I can see since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy for my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Now in this last verse, I'm going to see how many of y'all are into it. So when we get to those since and roll, I want y'all to put this finger up here and I want you to go, yeah, take it right on up there and hold those notes as loud as you possibly can, okay? That's the only way you'll enjoy it, is do the best you can to take that song on up there. Are you ready? Okay.
I shall go there to dwell in that city I know since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart.
Wow, I'm short of wind. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for getting involved in that. Wasn't that good, though? It makes a difference when you get involved. It does. Bob's back. Hello, Bob. Yeah, got to meet Bob this morning, and looking forward to meeting him again. He's going to eat tomato mayonnaise sandwiches with us tonight. And I brought a few pieces of fish or bologna, too. Chris loves that, don't you, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He probably wants mustard on his bologna. Okay, I'm looking around to see if we have a person who's never been here before. Don't see anybody, but it sure is good to see this good Sunday night group. And we're going to recognize the birthdays for August. One of my little girls that I was bringing, her birthday is in August, but she won't be here tonight. So we'll have to tell her when she gets back here Sunday that we wish her a happy birthday. Let's see. I told you about the David Phelps thing. You know about it, and that's going to be good. We're going, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Whether we get 20 or not, we're taking 20 some way or other. If I have to go to another church and get them, we're going, okay? So I hope you do that, because it's going to be really wonderful. You can wear your Christmas colors, and the Lord just, the music will be absolutely fantastic. You're going to love it. So we are going.
We have 16.
16, see? There you go. You got me down there? I never told you I'd go. Okay. Good to see Ray. Did Ray say he'd go? No. Okay. Okay. But we'll take it if I know how many, if that raises by tomorrow, I can do it, okay? So just let me know. If our usher is, would you help with that? Thank you, buddy. Chris is the most faithful usher I guess I've ever had in my ministry. And he does it with excitement. He's faithful. Amen. Amen. Love my Chris. Everybody here loves you, Chris. Yeah. Okay. Is there a prayer request you'd like to make known before we ask this blessing? Anybody have a prayer request? Yes, Brenda. Let's remember that person. You may not know him. God knows. Ask for conviction. Ask God to convict, yeah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can happen. Oh, it's so good to see Gene and Dwayne, my buddies. Okay, Anthony, would you bless this offering, buddy?
Amen.
Can I sing now, Dan? A lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. And when I'm tired, it sends out a light so that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me over. If it wasn't for the light, this ship would sail no. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big churches don't sail this way anymore. There's some havoc in around, but my mind goes back to that stormy night when yesterday I saw the light, and the light from that old night, it saved that night.
Back out to God's house tonight, and how thankful that we all can be for that lighthouse. And where would we all be without that lighthouse tonight? I can assure you that we wouldn't be here, and we know who that lighthouse is tonight. That lighthouse is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're here to do tonight, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. And I hope everybody has came out with that in mind. Did Ellie want to try to sing? Or? You going to try to sing? Okay, come on. Come up here. I'm going to get out of the way and let Ellie sing.
Good job.
In my household, we like to call it structured chaos, all of that that goes on. But it's great to see Ellie do that. If y'all knew how shy and backwards Ellie was, it would blow your mind how she gets up here and wants to do that. Talks about it all week, talks about it in the car ride all the way here and wants to do it. So, and I appreciate the church letting her do that. And, you know, the younger that we can get, just not my kids, but any child, the younger we can get any child involved in church, the bigger impact it has on their life. If you wait till they're teenagers to try to get them involved, it's too late. If you wait till they're young adults to try to get them involved, it's too late. You've got to do it when they're young, because I can assure you, the devil doesn't care how old a child is. He's going to attack him as early as he possibly can, as early as God allows him to. So the church needs to be a place that lets our kids and lets our youth get involved and do things. And I'm thankful that we have a church that does do that. I have got to know the teens over the last couple of weeks. We went to a youth revival over in Kingsport, and Shada and both the Bradys went. And I think I've heard your name called Brady tonight, and B, so I'm just going to stick with B. Okay, does that work? That's not B either? B's not it? B's the other one. I'm just going to call you It then, okay? But I've got to know It very well, got to know him very good, and got to know Sam good, and got to know Allie and Lily and Jacob, and they are a good group to be around. I had my first outing with them was back in July. About 2 weeks ago, we went to a Wednesday night youth rally, and it was my first time driving the church van, and it runs good. It's one of the better, it's really a church bus, it runs good. And we was on our way back from the youth rally, having a wonderful time, just talking and socializing and things like that. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, you get to the youth rally and they have the singing and they have the preaching, and it's a great time to worship God, and that's the most important thing it is. But I tell you what, the memories made on that bus will last a lifetime. And we had a lot of good laughs and things like that. And, you know, I was kind of nervous. That was my first outing with the youth as associate pastor. But we was laughing, having a good time. I was like, man, this couldn't go any better. Well, right when that thought went through my mind, a green light turned yellow. We was coming down the hill. Passengers, heavy bus. I was like, I ain't going to put my brakes on. That'd be more dangerous for them. So I went, ran a red light a little bit. For any of you parents here, I didn't run it by a lot. I ran it by a little bit. And then boom, picture, just like that. So my first outing as your associate pastor, I got a red light ticket, okay? Just to let everybody know that, all right? But that was we had a good time in doing that. So I hope so, and Dan can pay for it, all right? Send it to the church, and Dan can pay for it, all right? But I'm going to do some more stuff with them, and me and Lene's been talking about planning a little outing for the little kids too, so just anything to get them together to have a good time in the Lord Jesus Christ, because these friendships will last them for a lifetime. Amen. And we want church to be a place where not only they hear the Word of God teached and preached, and not only were they here singing and things like that, but we also want it to be a place where they make fellowship for the rest of their lives. And I know I said teached, and teached is not a word. It's taught, okay? So, Susie, there's number one. All right, if you brought your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to be in John chapter 3. And I'm not going to keep you very long tonight, because I know we're going to celebrate August birthdays over in the fellowship hall, and I don't want to keep us from that for too long. But we're going to be in John chapter 3. And we are going to look at verse 16 and verse 17. Now, I know that probably 100% of everybody here tonight knows what John 3:16 says. I hope you do. But I also want to say this tonight about John 3:16 is very important verse in God's holy word. Every verse in God's holy word is very important, but it's really the foundation of the plan of salvation. John 3:16 is the foundation of the plan of salvation. And it seems like Dan's been speaking on a lot here recently about, you know, talking to the lost, winning the lost at any cost, and having that courage that when God lays on your heart and mind to talk to somebody, not to be scared, not to be nervous, but to go and talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know one of the biggest questions I get, you know, when I go and talk to them about Jesus, you know, what is the best thing to pull out of the Bible? What is the best thing to pull out of God's holy word? And without a doubt, I believe John 3:16 is one of the greatest verses that you can use because of its simplicity. But also, I think tonight that while you can also use John 3:16 and also use other examples in God's holy word, I also think another great testimony you can use is what God has done in your life as well. So when you go and talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be somebody that's lost or whether it be somebody that's saved and just needs encouragement and things like that, you know, don't look over. Don't look over John 3:16 because it's the very first verse you learn. Don't look over John 3:16 because it's what's taught in the little kids' Sunday school rooms and things like that. Listen, I need John 3:16 every day of my life. And I'm sure that we all need John 3:16 every single day of our life. So we're going to take John 3:16 and John 3:17, and we're just going to preach on that for a few minutes tonight and then head over to the fellowship hall, okay? But John 3:16, I'm going to go ahead and read both verses, then we're going to break it down. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. God, we thank You for the beautiful singing tonight, the congregational, the lighthouse that John sung about tonight, God, and we're thankful for the song that Ellie sung tonight, "Jesus Loves Me and Having Peace," God. And God, we are, as Your children, Lord, we do have peace. We have that peace inside of us, God. And You are the one that tells the wind and seas to obey, to cease, and they do, God. And You instill that same peace in each and every one of us tonight, God. And we just thank You for that, Jesus. God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for all of Your Word, and we're thankful for these two verses tonight, God. And I just pray, God, that I'm able to share a few thoughts that You've laid on my heart and mind tonight, God. I pray, God, that You will just give me the liberty and the freedom to preach, God, and just anoint me from on high, God, and let everything I say be done according to Your will. All these things we ask in Your Son's name. Amen. So if we look at verse 16, we're going to find, and we're going to break this up and look at it, but let's look at verse 16 and let's just look at the first two words. And the first two words say, "For God." So if we look at this verse tonight, John 3:16 confirms that there is a God. It tells us in the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that in the beginning, God. Now notice it does not say, John 3:16 does not say, "For the gods," or "for many gods," or anything like that, but it says "for God." So we can look at John 3:16 and just take the "for God" and understand and realize that there is one God. There is one Creator. Now, you might stop and think and you might say, "Well, I know that. Why in the world are we being told that?" Well, I want to tell you something tonight. We live in a day and a time and in a world where it is not that simple for a lot of people. People that don't go to church or people that are so intertwined with the world, they either think there are no gods, they are atheists. They either think they are many gods or they think that they are their own God. So that is the day and a time that we are living in today. So us as Christians, us as Liberty Fellowship Church, we need to know and we need to understand tonight, praise God, that there is a God, that He created the heavens and the earth, that He created man and women from His own image. We did not come from a monkey, we come from God. That is the truth. We need to know and understand that He created the seas, He created the animals, He created the mountains. We need to understand that He created the rock, He created the vegetation, He created the food that we eat. We need to understand that not only did He create these wonderful beauties of nature, but He also created the situation that we are living in today. He created the opportunity for us to have a job. He created the opportunity for us to be able to go to church. He created the opportunity for us to be able to pray. He created the opportunity for us to be able to read our Bible. So when we think about God as being the great creator, let's just not limit Him to His beautiful creation that is outside and how awesome that it is. But praise God, let's also praise God that we serve God that has created blessings in our life that we need to praise and worship Him for. Hallelujah. So God is the great creator. So we learn here in verse 16, for God. Now there is something about our God, and I'm thankful tonight, praise God, that it is personal. You know, kings and queens back in the day, you know, if a king was a king of an empire or something like that, the chances of that king knowing every individual in that village or their kingdom by name was probably near impossible. For that king to know all of their names. Well, you know what tonight? God knows every one of our names. Jesus knows every one of our names. That's how personal that it is with God tonight. He's just not up on high looking down upon the earth and seeing us as little ants walking around or anything like that. No, praise God. When God looks down from heaven and He looks down from earth, He sees us and He knows us by name. Hallelujah. How thankful that we are for that. I teach school, and I am terrible with names. I'm terrible with some of your all's names, as you found out with Braden. I'm terrible with names. Did I get it right that time? Brady. Okay, I don't know. All right, I got it right, Brady. Braden, I'm just going to call you it, okay? But if you want to see a little child, and I'm ashamed to say I do this more times than I'm proud of, if you want to see a little child get their feelings hurt at school, you go through that room and you get 18 kids' names right, and you get to that 19th kid and you miss their name. It hurts their feelings. And they think about it, well, Mr. Nick don't care about me. He knew every child in this room, he knew their name, but he forgot mine. He don't care about me. Now, that's not the case. My mind is just forgetful. But can I tell you tonight that God has never forgotten your name? That Jesus has never forgotten your name, and God is never going to forget your name. So there is a God, we find in verse 16. Now there's something about this. Not only is God real, but it tells us something about God here, and that word so is so important. Now so is a coordinating conjunction for you English people here. So is a coordinating conjunction. So you use the word so in a sentence when you are going to use something to tie two things together. So loved the world. So not only is He God, but God loves something. What does He love? He loves the world. Now, when it says here in God's holy word, for God so loved the world, it doesn't mean that God loves the sins of this world. I can assure you that He does not. God does not love the sins of this world. God does not love the sins that you and I commit. So this does not mean that God loves sin, but what it does mean is that God loves His creation, praise God, and you and I fall underneath that tonight, hallelujah. For God so loved. So we see here, and we know in God's holy word, that God is love. Listen, if God was not loved, and if God was not love, and if God did not love, we would be wasting our time tonight. Coming to church, we would be wasting our time tonight because we all would be on the road to hell, and there wouldn't be a thing in the world any of us could do about it. But because God loved, hallelujah, we still couldn't do nothing about it, but God did do something about it. Hallelujah. So we see here that God so loved the world. Think about that for a second. God is up in heaven. When God created the heavens and the earth, He knew how bad earth was going to get. Nothing catches God by surprise, by the way. Events will catch us by surprise. What we may see on the news will catch us by surprise. What we hear about going on in schools and things like that may catch us by surprise, but I can assure you tonight, God has never been caught off guard. And He never will be caught off guard. That's why I'm thankful, praise God, that I've put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's another reason that you all should be thankful tonight, praise God, that you've put your faith and love in the Lord Jesus Christ, because things will happen in this world that will catch us off guard. But praise God, we serve the Master of the seas. We serve the Master of the winds. We serve the Master of it all, praise God, and nothing catches Him off guard. Nothing ever will catch Him off guard. But God saw how bad the earth was going to get. God saw how bad sin was going to get. Do you realize that God had the power in the Garden of Eden? He chose to kick Adam and Eve out, and He knew even before that was going to happen, but He knew somewhere down the line He was going to have to send His Son Jesus into the world to die on the cross for our sins. He knew He was going to have to do that, but He created it anyway. He could have hit the reset button after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. He could have wiped everything gone. Like you say, well, could He? Yeah, He's God. He can do whatever He wants. He could have hit the reset button. He could have hit the reset button back in Noah's time when He sent the flood. He could have hit the reset button when the children of Israel were down in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. Many times you can find in God's holy word, God could have said, you know what, I'm done, I'm fed up, I'm just going to do away with all the creation and I'm going to build it again. But you know what, He didn't. Why? Because He's love. Because He's love. He saw the children of Israel down in Egypt in slavery for 400 years. And you know what the Bible says over in the book of Exodus, praise God, He heard their cries. For 400 years they had been crying, and one day, bless God, God heard their cries. Why did God hear their cries? Because God so loved the world. Thank God for it. I'm thankful that God didn't hit the reset button and wipe us all away tonight. How thankful that we all are for that. So He loves the world. Now how do I know He loves the world? Well, we're going to find out right here that He gave. I want to stop right there just for a second. He gave. Man alive. You think about rulers. You think about Roman rulers. You think about ancient Greece rulers. The rulers in China. You can go through all these ancient civilizations. And that's one of the things I teach in sixth grade social studies. And I love it. It fascinates me because it all goes through the biblical time. And you can tie it all back to the Bible and all that stuff. There were a lot of rulers. And they were a lot of kings that never gave anything. All they wanted was power and power and power and power and money and money and money and money. Well, I got to thinking about that the other day, and you know what? God don't need anybody to give Him power because He is power. God don't need anybody to give Him money because, praise God, gold is going to be the streets that we walk on in heaven. Hallelujah. You know, for these emperors and presidents and kings and queens in the day and the time that we live in today, and I know that some countries don't have elections and things like that, but just take the United States, for example. In order for anybody to get into office, the people have to elect them. They get their power from the people, and what they do with that power is between them and God. Sometimes they abuse their power. Sometimes they do what's right. Sometimes they do what's wrong. That's between them and God. But praise God tonight, we serve a God. We didn't elect Him. We didn't put Him in. And you know what I love about that? We can't take Him out. Hallelujah. If we didn't elect God into office and we didn't put God into office, we didn't put God on the throne, we didn't seat God at the throne, then Hallelujah. All these people in the world today that are trying to dethrone God and trying to dethrone the church and trying to dethrone John 3:16 and trying to dethrone the plan of salvation, trying to dethrone God's holy word, I tell you right now, they can't do it because man or woman or child didn't put God there. God was already there. He put Himself there. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-omniscient. Hallelujah. God is all-loving, but God is also judgment as well. And nobody can take God away from where He is. Nobody can. I'm thankful for that. He gave. Man, I'm glad that we serve a God that gave. And we're going to get into Jesus here in a second, the most important thing that He ever gave. How thankful that we all can be for that. But I want to tell you something right now. I think we all can look at our lives tonight and we can find many examples of where God gave even more. And not more than His Son. That's the most precious thing. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I mean. But He's gave us even more than that, folks. He's been so good to us. God could have, if all God did was give us His Son Jesus, that's all He needed to do. He didn't have to do nothing else. But man alive, He's done a whole lot more. Thank the good Lord for it. So what did He give? He gave His only begotten Son. Now we know that Adam is a son of God, but Adam sinned. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. He gave His only begotten Son. Now, we all know who this Son's name is tonight. His name is Jesus. Everybody do me a favor now. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I want you to say Jesus. I don't want you to scream it or yell it or anything like that. I just want you to say Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus.
One, two, three.
Jesus.
One, two, three.
Jesus.
That feels good, don't it? It feels good just to say the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you tonight. You start having a bad day at work, just start saying the name Jesus. You start having a bad day at school, just start saying the name Jesus. The devil starts fighting you when you pray, and I'm not ashamed to admit this. When I try, I'm not a great prayer at night, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you why. It's because when my head hits that pillow, I'm asleep in 3 minutes. I'm one of those people. As soon as I lay down, I fall asleep. So I'm not a great prayer at night. But when the devil comes around and tries to get you sleepy and you pray and you're going to fall asleep or get your mind and thoughts on all kinds of other things that's going on, just say the name Jesus. Because I tell you right now, that name makes Satan tremble in his boots. That name makes the devil run. That name makes the devil get out of Dodge. Because Jesus defeated him. Hallelujah. But God gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him. It was His choice. God didn't have to. God could have said, no, you all deserve hell. God could have said, no, you all deserve punishment. God could have said, no, you all deserve what's coming to you. Look at your actions. You deserve all these terrible consequences. You deserve to die. You deserve to have no hope. You deserve to have no joy. You deserve to have no feast. But praise God, because God gave His only begotten Son. Do you know what God was saying when He said, Jesus, I want you to go to earth and I want you to die on the cross for their sins. Son, Jesus, I want to give you to this lost and dying world. Do you know what God was saying when He said that? He was saying, hey, you know what? You don't deserve peace, but I'm going to give it to you. You don't deserve joy, but I want to give it to you. You don't deserve love, but I want to give it to you. You don't deserve happiness. I'm going to give it to you. You don't deserve the splendors of this world, but I'm going to give it to you. And in other words, you don't deserve righteousness, but bless God, I'm going to give it to you through and by my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave His only begotten Son. So we know there's God. We know that He loves the world. It's His creation. We know that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did He do that? Well, that's where we get to here in verse 16. That whosoever, I'm going to stop right there. Whosoever. That means everybody. Nobody is excluded from the plan of salvation. Nobody is. The plan of salvation is for everybody tonight. The person that is in jail can be saved. The person that has committed the awfulest, most terrible crimes can be saved. The drug addict can be saved. The drunk can be saved. The streetwalker on the street can be saved. The curser can be saved. Somebody that lives a good life, they don't do anything wrong, but they're just not saved. Bless God, they can be saved too. Hallelujah. Whosoever, praise God, that's everybody. Nobody is excluded from the plan of salvation, bless God. Thank God for it. That gets me to something else. If God didn't exclude anybody from the plan of salvation, we shouldn't exclude anybody from the plan of salvation. And listen, there's things in this world that I would go to war over. Certain issues going on in our country today that I would go to war over. But man alive, what's more important? And I know we need to stand fast. We need to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that stuff. But I also want to say this tonight. It tells us right here, the plan of salvation is for everybody. God didn't exclude anybody. We don't need to exclude anybody. No matter what their morals are, no matter what their lifestyles are. Here's the thing about it. If we do our part, like Preacher Dan preached this morning, if we do our part and we tell people about Jesus, it's on them then. But until that's done, it's on us. It's on us. If they're living in a lifestyle where they're not going to hear about God and they're not going to hear about Jesus, and God is speaking to us, telling us to be a faithful servant and to go and speak to these individuals, and we don't do it, that's on us. But when we do it, that puts the responsibility on them. We can't save them, but bless God, we can point them to the one who can. That's all we all do. Believeth in Him, Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. Don't hear that preached a lot or taught anymore. Believe anything you want, you can go to heaven. No, it's not how it works. You've got to believe in Jesus. Should not perish. In other words, you ain't going to die. You ain't going to go to hell, but have everlasting life. Bless God, you're going to live forever. Bless God. I know there's many people here that have loved ones that have went on to heaven. Are you not thankful tonight that they didn't perish, but they have everlasting life? We think we live here. We don't live here. I mean, we have a good time here and things like that, and God blesses us so that we can live. And I'm a firm believer in living life, not dreading every day, not moping every day and all that stuff. I'm a firm believer in living life every day. But I want to tell you something right now, bless God. When we get to heaven, we're really going to live. And we ain't going to get tired either. We won't get on each other's nerves either. That's going to be awesome. Have everlasting life. And then verse 17, then we're done. I told you he was going to get out of here quick so we go eat cupcakes. I lied to you at 6:53. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn. God could have sent Him here to condemn, but He didn't when He at His birth. But the world through Him might be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Judgment's coming. Jesus is coming. God's going to take care of that. I'm not. I'm not the judge. God's the judge. I don't want no part in being the judge. I'd mess it up. I want God to be the judge. But until that day, today is the day of salvation, and condemnation has not came yet. So if that's the case, and if that's the point, bless God, let's go to these whosoevers and tell them about Jesus, all right? Tell them about John 3:16. Let's stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, okay? Braden taught Sunday school for the teens this morning, and he took notes on Hebrews 11. We was talking about Heaven's Hall of Fame. And he said he was going to work a little bit more on it, and he said that he would. And I said, I want you to do this, and he said he'd do it. So when he gets done polishing that up and finishing that up and all that stuff, I told him I want him to tell everybody from the church what he learned from Hebrews chapter 11. So you be praying for him, okay? He's going to be polishing that up. Be praying for him, all right? Anthony, go ahead and dismiss us.